20 years ago, a brave and bespectacled boy captured the imaginations of millions of readers, as well as a prominent place on the bestseller list, becoming a cultural force that was embraced by an entire generation and their parents. Laura Kennedy has more.
2 decades ago, the first Harry Potter book was published in the United States. The eventual 7-book series about the boy wizard became a cultural phenomenon, spawning films, a theme park, and more. It was a genuine crossover hit, casting its spell on children and adults alike. Harry Potter made children's literature a force to be reckoned with. That's according to Roberta Seelinger Trites, distinguished professor of English at Illinois State University, who is an unabashed fan of the boy wizard.
I love to talk about Harry Potter.
Why do you love to talk about Harry Potter?
I think it's one of the most brilliant stories ever written. It's epic in length, it's epic in its plot structure, and it's smart and it's geared to multiple levels. It's geared to the child reader, it's geared to adults. And that's a hard thing to pull off in that many books.
Did she actually think, J.K. Rowling, that she was going to get adult readers with this book?
I don't know the answer to that question, but the fact she has so many references to Greek and Roman mythology and so many Latin phrases and words, it makes me think she probably hoped that she would have a dual audience.
Because parents will sit down and they will read the books to their children, and that's a way we get the parents hooked?
That has happened to so many of my friends. That's exactly what happens.
Well, I have to confess, though, that I don't have children, and I still read the Harry Potter books.
I read them before my children did. I'll confess the same thing. My eldest son is basically the same age. When the books came out, he was the same age as the Harry Potter character. So he kind of grew
with them.
With them, which was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch.
That's interesting. How does that make it interesting for the writer? Does the writer keep writing for the same age that she started with? Or does Rowling actually, did she expand it in a way that she knew that the kids who started with the very first book 20 years ago, by this stage of the game, they were going to be 17, and so she would have to write to that audience? Or did she keep it the same all the way through?
There are two types of series for children. Nancy Drew is a static series. She stays the same age forever. There are other series, like Harry Potter, where the protagonist grows. I believe that Rowling was very, very intentional about increasing the reading level with the characters. So Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is a much, much easier read syntactically and in terms of diction than Deathly Hallows is a very complex novel that the 8-year-old who can handle Sorcerer's Stone might struggle a little bit with Deathly Hallows.
When the books first came out, when Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone as it was in England, when it first came out in England, it was a good success. But then when it came out in the United States, that's when it really took off and was really, really successful. Why did it really take off in the United States?
I think it was actually Scholastic's brilliant marketing. Scholastic got the books into the schools before the parents even knew they existed, and they got the kids hooked. Now, to my knowledge, the series really took off with Prisoner of Azkaban. That book hit the bestseller charts right away, and then a lot of people went back and read the other two. The franchise grew as the marketing grew.
What is it about Harry that we love so much? Is he somebody that we can project ourselves into, or is he just so well-drawn that we feel like he's a friend?
He's a very empathetic character. We can project ourselves onto him. He also is lonely. He's abandoned. His parents have died. He's treated terribly by his family. He's Cinderella. He is living in a sequestered place and unloved. And all of a sudden, he finds out he's rich, and he has this whole community of people who love him and revere him. I think we all resonate with a tale of my life is not going well, but now all of a sudden I'm successful. I think that's a wonderful plot trajectory that we all like.
Well, Harry goes away to Hogwarts, this school for magic, and he's got all these friends and all the classes, and it's a really immersive world that he goes to. Is that part of the appeal of Harry Potter, the fact that it is so immersive?
Absolutely. Rowling did some brilliant work in blending genres. She took the school story, and then she also took the fantasy world that happens in another place, and her world creation is so intricate. And I do think that appeals to a lot of people. And of course, it also allows for excellent marketing opportunities when you want to buy Bertie Bott's flavored beans and you want to go have a butter beer down at Harry Potter World.
You bet.
So there's, you know, yes, we own a wand. Yes, we own a sorting cap, a sorting hat. It was one of those cases where the material goods enhanced the reading experience and the reading experience enhanced the marketability of material goods and commodities.
That's Roberta Salinger-Trites, Distinguished Professor of English at Illinois State University. Harry Potter's influence extends to the athletic field as well. The game Quidditch, a key element in the books, is now a real-world college sport played on pitches internationally. And Illinois State University has its own Quidditch team, the Firebirds. I'm Laura Kennedy.